Thank you for listening to the Prairie Oaks Pulpit Podcast, recorded on the Sunday morning sermons of Prairie Oaks Baptist Church here in Prairie Grove, Arkansas. Wherever you listen to these, we appreciate that you find these Bible teachings profitable for your spiritual growth. We invite you to join us on Sunday mornings. We meet when weather permits in our open-air pavilion, or we meet in the sanctuary just nearby. It is a laid-back worship experience that you won't soon forget. You can also find links to our messages on our YouTube channel, or you can follow us on Facebook at Prairie Oaks to find out more about our current events. And if you'd like to contribute to this teaching ministry, you can follow the links in the notes. But let's get to the message. Thank you. So, is anyone else, does this seem like a long time since Easter? I don't know what it means, but, you know, Easter was over 40 days ago. And it seems like it's a jam-packed over 40 days, right? Now, 40 days, though, after Easter, something big happened. We don't think of it very often because we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate the resurrection. But we don't always think about the ascension. 40 days. 40 days of Jesus. Now, Christmas is a big deal because God put on flesh and dwelt among us. Born in the most humble of means as a little Israelite and grew up, same rate as everybody else, living our righteousness perfectly. At the age of 30, normally when a priest would begin his time of service was at age 30. That's when Jesus was publicly anointed with the Holy Spirit at the baptism by John, and he began his public ministry. He defeated Satan in temptation. He taught the Word of God. He verified the authority that he had to teach the Word of God the way that he did with miracles, signs, and wonders. And it was culminating at the cross, where he laid down his life for us and died physically. On the third day, he rose again. The tomb is empty. Amen. And then he spent 40 days, and 40 is kind of a significant number if you've been reading through the scriptures, but it's a testing, it's a proving time. And that's what Luke calls it, that he, by many infallible proofs, showed himself to be alive. Not a ghost, not just an apparition, not just the figment of their imagination, but as real as the person next to you.
Flesh and bones.
Flesh and bones. They could poke him, handle him, hug him. All the senses involved. They ate with him. They pestered him with questions. But it was still different than it had been when they had walked with him for all those years. He would come and go. And he told them that he would be going again. And so Luke tells us the first half of the story. In fact, Luke tells us more than just about any other gospel writer, from before conception all the way through the resurrection and many of those proofs in his gospel. But he realized that's not enough. I need to tell you everything else that Jesus did. And that's the rest of Acts and continues on. Because Jesus is still at work. But he changes the game plan in Acts chapter 1. And that's what we're going to look at today. We're taking a break from Exodus, and we're going to look in Acts chapter 1. Give me a second to re-find it, because I moved my bookmark, then moved my finger. Acts chapter 1. Thereafter, the four Gospels. Chapter 1, verse 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're just thankful for this time together. We thank you, Lord, for each one that's come out, asking you, Father, to just bless the Children's Chapel as they are taught your word and your love for them and your character as holy and righteous, as judge, as merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and willing to save. Pray, Lord, that you, through your Holy Spirit, not only work in there, but work in here as well, Lord, through your word, as we see your Son and his kingdom revealed for us, O Lord, and our role to participate in that kingdom even now. And Lord, if there's any that do not know you as Savior, who have not leaned into your mercy and grace, your righteousness and holiness, your salvation, O Lord, that you would prick their hearts, that you would prompt them, Lord, with a still small voice to come and receive the gift of salvation that is only available in Jesus Christ, just for the asking. And we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to do all these things and more. And in the name of Jesus Christ, the true King and our wonderful friend, we pray. Amen. And so Luke starts off and he says, you know, so I already wrote the one account. Now, this is the continuation of it. What Jesus began both to do and to teach. And he already is setting the groundwork. He says, and he was teaching them, preparing them for the kingdom through his Holy Spirit. Through his Holy Spirit, he was giving them these commands. And he proved himself, speaking pertaining to the kingdom of God. And I love that as he has them there and they're gathered around him, and I can't help but think that they know this is one of their last times to hear from him. And he's telling them, all right, I'm going to be going, but you stay in Jerusalem. Don't go back to Galilee. Already been there, done that. Stay in Jerusalem. Because the promise of the Father is coming. The promise of the Father is coming. He didn't tell them when, because we walk by faith, not by calendars. He didn't tell him when, but he said, you wait. It's coming, not too many days from now. And that is going to be an immersive experience, he says. You're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And the inquisitive disciples, I'll use the term disciple and apostle interchangeably because they started out as disciples, but he does send them and they're apostles, just to explain. But the inquisitive disciples, they're like, well, you've been talking about the kingdom a lot, and now you're saying you're going to send out the Holy Spirit. They paid attention in synagogue school, and so they knew that must be important. That, what about the rest of the promises, God? What about the rest of the promises where you're going to reign here in Jerusalem and all the nations are going to come unto you and Israel's going to be restored back to its glory and all the promises of, like, you know, land flowing with milk and honey and all the good stuff. No more enemies. What about that part of it? It's a legitimate question, isn't it? It's one that we ask all the time, to be honest, if we're honest with ourselves. So we can't be too hard on them for asking this question. We ask it all the time. We're wondering when. It's got to be close, right? I think so. But I have to remember that every generation before me said the same thing, including them. It's got to be getting close. And he tells them it's not for you to know those things, times and seasons and how all those things are going to line up. And I think part of that's because he's right. That's the Father's business. I'm supposed to be about the Father's business and the kingdom, because that isn't the kingdom. The kingdom is also now. That's what Jesus spent the Sermon on the Mount explaining. What's the kingdom about? Kingdom is about people living under the king. And what does the king's ways look like? The Sermon on the Mount tells us that. Blessed are those who suffer. Blessed are those who are mourned. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Because Christ is better than those things. The commandments, don't minimize them, maximize them. Obey them from the heart. When you pray, it's not for others to see. It's for a conversation with the Father. And he even gives us a model prayer. And one thing God has been working on me about is really praying that more often. Because my prayers, if I'm left without a guide, don't reflect the Lord's model prayer as much as it should. And so it's good for me to have that to, oh, I need to be praying more for his kingdom come, his will to be done. That I'm asking for my daily bread and thanking him for how he provides. And all the other things that unpack in that, being forgiving because I've been forgiven. But those are aspects of his kingdom right now. Living for his kingdom because he's the king and he gets to call the shots. Amen. And it's kind of an act of treason to not do so. You call me Lord, do you do what I say? We call him the King of Kings, but do we do what he says? And if we're minimizing what we know he's been telling us by not paying attention to God's word, then that's kind of treason against the king. Mm-hmm. We need to be digging in and knowing what the king has commanded us to do. Through his gospel messages, through the letters from his apostles, his sent ones. Because he said, if they won't listen to you, they're not listening to me. Because you've got some pious people that would say, oh, I just read the red letters and that's enough for me. No, it's not. Because he specifically said, you better be listening to my sent ones or you're not listening to me. And so he wants us in his word, being taught his word. So you came today, and that's what we're here for. Let's keep moving. His kingdom, that is right now. So we got to, first off, get our brains engaged so that kingdom isn't just far off. It's now.
Amen.
Bring in the kingdom now in my heart, my mind, my actions, my life. In verse 8, he says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Ooh. Not just standard human, humans with power. And there's a lot that should be said about that. But I want us to kind of take that sentence home with us for a while. Because that's His promise. It's a promise that He's already delivered on. But that's next week's sermon. But it's a promise He has delivered on. You shall receive power. Because there's a way. Jesus did a lot when He saved us. I mean, it's an understatement, right? But He did a lot when He saved us. And I think a lot of times when we read through Romans and places like that, you know, we live in a system that's based on the Roman rule of government. And so it resonates with us when He's talking about justification, that we've been forgiven of our sins. And that is a real thing He accomplished for us. That legally speaking, we have been freed from the penalty of our sins. But that's not all He did when He saved us. He also gave us power. And that we have been given, not only freed from the penalty of sin, we are freed from the power of sin. I don't have to continue to follow sin anymore. He's given me the tools. And I, to be honest with you, it just dawns on me again this morning, and it has to dawn on me, I think, every Sunday morning. But as the devil is trying to discourage and depress and just beat me down, I have to remind myself, that's not real. That's just spiritual warfare. And I don't have to listen to that.
Amen.
I can listen to God through His Holy Spirit because He's given me power over that temptation. Because that's a now, that is not to say clinical depression is all in your head. It is not. But it is to say that what I'm feeling on those Sunday mornings is spiritual warfare. And He's just trying to beat me up because He knows I'm coming to preach God's Word. But He's given me power. And that's a temptation to be overcome just the same as lust or, you know, any of those other desires or whatever you think is a temptation that is easy for you, or maybe it's hard for you, but those are temptations. And He's given us power. But He is also, this is a slight digression, but I'll eventually get through this point. In our salvation, He's also given us honor. Because sin had brought us shame. Shame and dishonor. And when you get to that section in your heart, you realize, ugh, there's things that I'm really embarrassed about in my life because of my sin and temptations. But He has given us honor in that we are now called the children of God, the King Most High. He has given us beauty from the ashes that we had burned up our life in sin. And so I say that to say there is a lot in that term right there. Stay in Jerusalem because you're going to be given power through His Holy Spirit. It is a manifold salvation that we've been given. It has been compared to a great, precious jewel. And the more you twist it and turn it, the more facets and rainbows of light that come refracting through that gem. And that's our salvation. The more you look at it, the more you see the beauty that is in it. as you turn from one angle to the next and see all that's going on in our salvation. But specifically here, Jesus says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. He's given us power not just for me, but for them. For us. It's not to be a lagoon. It's to be a river. It's not supposed to stop here. It's supposed to be out. To be witnesses testifying of what Jesus has done for me. Because we talked about that last week. What did Moses share with Jethro? He just told the things that he'd seen. You won't believe, Jethro, what God has done. And here he just tells what God has done. And what does Jethro do? He worships. Moses just had to be an eyewitness to what he'd seen. And Jethro was changed. If you and I have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, we have a story to tell. We've been in the power of Jesus Christ, and He has saved us, born us again. I don't think that's right grammar, but it sure sounds good. He born us again. We are brand new creatures. Took up residence in my heart. When I was that 11-year-old boy asking Jesus to save me, that was the big thing in my head. That He was going to come and dwell in my heart. And when He moved in, it felt different. He changed things when He moved in. And so, we have a story to tell. And it's not a story just of my imagining. Although there is power in the fact that it's your story and not my story. Because your story has something that's irrefutable. It's happened to you. You just tell the truth. Don't have to make it up. Doesn't have to be, you don't always have to have scripture references and all that with it. It's your story. You just tell the truth. This is what He did for me. And that's powerful. I can argue with you about a lot of different things, but it's really hard to argue with someone when they have experience. Which is why I challenge you to walk with Christ every day, so that way you get more and more experiences, and it's that much harder to argue with you. If you put Jesus on the shelf, put your Bible on the shelf, and you don't live it except for maybe 50 minutes on a Sunday morning, you won't have much experience with Him, and it'll be easy to knock you off. Because you don't have all that experience. But when you've got experience with Christ, that's why I'm on some of you guys never going to be convinced to be an atheist, because it's like, that's like trying to convince me I'm not alive. I'm right here. I see me. He's more real than I am. But it's not just the fact that it is your story has to stand by itself. It is verified by history. One of the best historians proven by archaeology of all of the ancient world is in this book, Luke, the historian. He fact checks really well. He stands up to the test. The other guys that they talk about as the fathers of history, they're goof-offs compared to Luke. He did his homework. And so we have a lot to bank on when we talk about this Jesus. And so He says, you shall be witnesses of these things. They were eyewitnesses of the resurrection. Like I said, they poked and prodded and ate, and knowing Thomas, he probably licked him. I mean, he just wanted to make sure he's really, really real. And you laugh at me, but they probably didn't lick, but he probably kissed them. Because that's their culture. That real. And it wasn't just the start there in Jerusalem. Thank God it made it to the uttermost parts of the earth. Arkansas. And it's supposed to go all the way back. You know, I was telling you the other day, there's a movement in China where we thought we needed to send missionaries. They are sending missionaries out of China because they want to see the gospel go all the way back to Jerusalem. If there's not a place in the world that needs more Jesus, it is in the Middle East, is it not? The headlines are like that. There is the gospel going around the globe and back again with a simple story to tell. And it is powered by the Holy Spirit. And I say all of that to say this, because you thought I was going to preach about the ascension, and I haven't even gotten to that point yet in the text. But the reason it's important is because all those things wouldn't have taken place if he was still walking a place in the Middle East. Because God, in the mystery and the amazement of this, in God the Son put on flesh. And when he put on flesh, he was in one place at a time. But the Holy Spirit, he moves into each of our hearts when we're born again. And each of those believers around the world. And so the Holy Spirit is really busy right now. It's Sunday morning. And he is working in the same believers in the southern hemisphere as he is in the northern hemisphere. He is working in the same believers on all the continents where there are humans, where there are Christians. And he's even working in some non-Christians to bring them to himself. And he says, work with me. I've got big plans. I'm building a kingdom to glorify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because Jesus ascended on the clouds. He rose as they watched, and the clouds of glory obscured him away. And you kind of wonder what happened next. Guess what? The Bible tells us. It's just not where you think it is. It's in Daniel 7. Because it says that the Son of Man rode on the clouds and stepped up to the Ancient of Days to receive his throne, to receive the kingdoms. The Son of Man, Jesus' favorite name for himself, before the Ancient of Days, his Father, to receive the kingdom. Just as some of the parables Jesus taught. And once all his enemies are put below his feet, he's coming again to judge. Just as he told friends and foes alike, you're going to see the Son of Man come on the clouds of heaven. And just the same as those angels told those men of Galilee, you can quit staring up into the heavens. He's coming back in the same manner, same spot, Mount of Olives. And he's going to, every eye will see, and everyone will know whether their choice to follow the King today was wise, or if they made the wrong choice and chose not to follow the King. And so that's kind of also how our invitation goes. I know we don't have a song leader yet, Matt. You're working on it? Okay. But here's how that works, is that today is our opportunity to make that decision. Because it's not just a one-time decision in the past. It is. That's what saved you. And today, because we don't know when he's coming again, it may be in the next 5 minutes. It may be in the next 5 days. It may be in the next 5 years. But you better not be counting on the next five days, because it could be in the next 5 minutes. We don't No. He tells us to be ready. And so whatever the Holy Spirit is stirring in your hearts today, this is your opportunity to respond as Miss Holly leads us in a song. Thank you for listening to the Prairie Oaks Pulpit Podcast. We pray for you that you are blessed by these messages, and we're praying that you join us again next time as we continue our series in God's Word.